Welcome to 92.3 FM, where we invite you to delve deeper into the biblical understanding of common themes found throughout the Bible. Join us for a journey of discovery as we explore Bible mysteries unraveled, guided by the insightful teachings of author Dr. Charles Palicki.
Hello, this is Dr. Charles Palicki coming to you from Atherton in Queensland. Session 6, The Bride of Christ Continued. Today, we're going to discuss a mystery that I doubt would have ever been raised at your church. We're going to talk about horses. Are you interested in horses? How are horses related to the Bride of Christ, you may well ask. Kevin Connor, a prominent Australian author, summarized the symbols and types used in the Bible in one of his many books. And along with many other common symbols such as oil, doors, trumpets, doves, lions and lambs, he briefly explains the meaning of horses. In the Bible, horses are used to symbolize strength and power in the context of warfare and future conquests. At a given command, a trained war horse will charge into battle without flinching. But horses are not limited to symbolize just these qualities in the Bible. Sometimes horses are used as symbols for groups of people, situations, and waves of disaster. Consider the pale horse used in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, which indicates that a future event will sweep over the earth, causing unprecedented death rates. The Bible explains the symbol. The rider is death. This horse is to affect the entire earth and take many into hell. Think of COVID-19, but COVID-19 was just a mild foretaste of what the book of Revelation predicts. Before tackling the Bride of Christ, I wish to present another example about the use of horses in the Bible. Jeremiah was a prophet to whom the Lord gave terrible jobs. Jeremiah often explained, "Lord, why me? I hate my ministry." Jeremiah was becoming exhausted and told God it would be better for him to die. God ignored him. Instead, wanting to get Jeremiah ready for an even more tricky job, God responded saying, "Jeremiah, if competing in a race against men makes you tired, how will you feel when I ask you to compete against horses? If you trip and fall in a safe place, what will you do in a dangerous place?" Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. In effect, God was saying, "Jeremiah, you've seen nothing yet. There are worse cases that you will have to deal with." The horses he would yet have to fight were generations of corrupt temple priests, kings and inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah. Chapter 19 in the book of Revelation predicts that the armies of God will be riding on white horses to defeat Satan and especially the corruption in the church. Their only weapons? The word of God and the blood of the Lamb. Reading from verse 11 in chapter 19. "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. He wore many crowns. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. He treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. On his robe and on his thigh there is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Here, we clearly see Jesus coming to war against all the demonic activities on earth, bringing God's wrath upon an evil world that has been mocking him. This time he's coming as a lion, not as a lamb on a cross as at first. But now, listen to verse 14. "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Did you hear that? The armies of heaven, white and clean. That will be us. Are we not the redeemed because we are washed in the blood of the Lamb? The redeemed have been sitting in expectation, waiting for just this moment. An avalanche of the Word of God will hit the earth that has been under the rule of the Antichrist, judging and making the world ashamed of their guilt. Let's read on just a little more. Come and gather for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them. Note that, I repeat, against horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. Let's talk now about the bride of Christ. Who are they? Who are they in the picture I've just given you? Consider this. Jesus is riding his own white horse, which he is able to control. These people, the white horse, have offered to completely submit to him every time he tugs at their reins. That is the chief characteristic of the bride of Christ that I've been telling you about since the start of this series. What about the other riders on their own white horses? Why do they accompany Jesus on their own horses? The answer seems simple enough. These people, represented by the horses, respond more to their leaders, the riders, than to Jesus. If every member in the body of Christ were to submit more to the words of Jesus than to their own leaders, then we would see Jesus as the only rider on a white horse. You see, leaders are tainted with something that won't allow them to submit completely to the words of Jesus. At least, that would be true of some of them. Think about it. What does this say about the body of Christ towards the end of time? This is Dr. Charles Pallagy signing off for now.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Bible Mysteries Unraveled series on 92.3 FM. We hope you gained a deeper understanding of the Bible. Join us next time as we continue our journey with Dr. Charles Pallagy and dive deeper into the timeless truths found within the pages of the Bible. You can reach out to Charles through his email, charles.pallagy@gmail.com.